good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly visit. And it is always my hope that at the end of our half hour together, all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. And in looking at my legal size pad of things that we're going to talk about today, I am confident that I will fulfill that part of my mission. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are in some kind of challenge, but have not yet, for whatever reasons they choose, not yet disclosed it. Those may be physical challenges, they may be financial challenges, they may be addiction challenges, they may be any one of a number of things. But know that whatever it is, and know that even though you may be one of those who has chosen not yet to talk about it or to say anything to anyone, that you always remain in the palm of your captain's hand. Each one of you who is facing one of those challenges, and I bring this up this week because in the last week, a couple of those challenges have been made known to me. Now, clearly and obviously, it would be breaking the rules of the compartment that we all occupy together if I were to disclose those, and I'm not going to. But at the same time, I can say, in the most general and loving of terms, that whatever those particular challenges are, confronting them and dealing with them may now be the time. And whether you choose to also disclose them is, of course, always up to you. Know that any of those which are made known to me, if I am under a pledge of non-disclosure, that will always be honored. So for all of you who are facing any kind of challenge in life, and you're not yet ready to disclose it, at least may I hope, may it be my wish, my hope, and my command that you will now say that it is time to deal with it if you have not already started to do that. The medical list this week brings with it one sad note. Captain Don Walsh, U.S. Navy retired, died during the week. He was a nice round 92. And he is significant to all of us because he was the commanding officer of the Trieste, the Bath Escape that went all the way down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, the deepest place in our planet. And this was many, many years ago. I don't have in my notes the date. You can look him up. Walsh, Don, Captain, USN, retired. But he is a good example for all of us for someone who accepted a mission and then would not give up. Over and over and over again, you've heard your captain say, "We do not give up the ship." And so, Captain Walsh, you kept your oath. And it is an honor for me to recognize your crossing of your particular bar. The rest of the binnacle list is stable in that I don't have any reports of any of my classmates crossing the bar, but last week, two of them, we're rapidly thinning out. And none of my Vietnam shipmates, and there are several of them on whom I am keeping a an alert lookout is far forward in the eyes of the ship. Do you know why we call it the eyes? Those of you who may not be completely conversant with nautical terminology, we say that a lookout should be kept as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is practicable. Even today in places in the Mediterranean, in parts of France and Brittany, I think, you will see fishing vessels, and certainly in Southeast Asia, you will see vessels that have eyes painted up on the bows, one on either side. And that's where the expression comes from, the custom of painting eyes so that the ship will be able to find her way through the fog. Goes back centuries, and we still use the term today. We keep a lookout as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is possible and practicable. The Marine Corps birthday, the 248th birthday of the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is especially precious to Coast Guard people because our Medal of Honor winner, Douglas Monroe, Signalman Second Class Douglas Monroe, was the coxswain of a landing craft during one of the Guadalcanal, one of the invasions that was connected with the Battle for Guadalcanal. And he was landing a landing craft full of Marines. And he got into a firefight. And he was concerned all the way up to the time of his death that he had gotten his Marines onto the beach and had accomplished his mission. The story in Coast Guard and Marine lore is that his last words, or almost his last words, were, "Did they all get off?" So it's always a special thing for the Coast Guard to recognize Marine events, Marine Corps birthdays. I have two Marines in my family. Two of Mary's brothers are Marines. And as is true that when you are once a guardian, also once a Marine, you're always a Marine. So happy birthday to the Marine Corps, 248th birthday. And the Commandant, Admiral Fagan, sent a very brief but very meaningful set of birthday greetings. She didn't talk about workforce. She just said that the Corps and the Guard have been locked together for a long, long time. It goes back far before the invasion of Guadalcanal and Doug Monroe and the Marines that he was charged with landing on the beachhead. Happy birthday to all of my Marines. Semper Fi for Semper Fidelis, always faithful. The magazine this week is a favorite of all of us. I know that it is a favorite of all of us. The Professional Mariner. And in the Professional Mariner, the last article is always a piece by Captain Kelly. Captain Kelly is a licensed master mariner, any tonnage, any oceans. And he always has the last word. And this one, in the most recent issue of Professional Mariner, was about AMVER, AMVER. It's an acronym. It stands for Now Automated Merchant Vessel Reporting System. It started out as being the Atlantic Merchant Vessel Reporting System. And it goes back to at least the middle 1950s. The way it works is that ships And companies that volunteer their ships check in with the Amver system, and they are tracked by computers. In my first shore job, I ran part of the Amver system, the headquarters part of the Amver system. And we were just beginning to use computers in the Coast Guard, and the one that kept track of all of the vessels that were checked into the system were being tracked by a computer called a RAMAC. And a RAMAC had disks, stacks and stacks and stacks of disks. And there was a little reading arm, and it danced around these disks, and it plucked off the information. So the computer would not only log in vessels as they checked into the system, but would continue to update their positions by dead reckoning. This was before we had the Automated Information System, AIS. And the objective of the exercise was that, and remains today, all of these years later. It's amazing. And it costs almost nothing. So the objective of the exercise was that when a SAR case, a Mayday, would come in, the Amver people would interrogate the computer and find out which ships that were in the Amver system were closest to the people and ships that needed rescuing. There are literally thousands of people today who are either alive or were saved from a long, long time in the rafts because of the Amver system. And Captain Kelly is talking about this, and he has laid out the history of which I was a part, because my second contact with Amver was that after I came back from Vietnam, and my next assignment was a course at the Armed Forces Staff College, and then after that I was transferred to San Francisco. And my nominal job was to run the Amver system all over the Pacific Basin. And it was there that I came to work for one of the great gentlemen of our service, three-star Admiral Mark Whalen, who was the commander Pacific area. And the work that we did, one of my assistant was a chief radio electrician, a warrant officer, W4, named Gail Fike. And it was Gail that taught me so many things. And Gail was a Harley Davidson person. And he and his wife would get on this Harley was the biggest one that you could buy, apparently. And they would go from San Francisco over to Las Vegas for weekends. And that was a parenthetical insertion about Gail, by the way. I bring him in because he was both a great friend, and he taught me an enormous amount of things. I was a commander. I'd already had three commands. I'd already been to Vietnam. Boy, did I ever know everything. And Gail taught me a lot. So not only do I say that I was raised by chiefs, but there are lots of warrant officers that had a hand in that raising as well. So Captain Kelly talks about all of the history of the system and that it is still functioning today. And it's functioning today using much smaller and more powerful computers. But ships still have to voluntarily participate. And if they are participants, they have to be willing to divert from their revenue-earning voyage to carry out a rescue. And I was just so pleased to read that article, and I was so pleased to realize that the system is still working. From 1956, when actually I was involved in it in 1960, and it had been starting in 1960, and it had been running then for several years to now, still operating. So that's my magazine, The Professional Mariner. I do not know whether you can buy Professional Mariner on the newsstand, but I do know that you can read it online. And if you go to this most recent issue, go to the back, Captain Kelly's article, it will be about Amphora. And although your captain's name is not listed in there, a fatal flaw maybe, but the fact remains that I was very much involved in operating that system in two different assignments. Last week at my closing remarks, I proclaimed that the day after my broadcast was my birthday. And I proclaimed then the reasons why I was saying that. What I did not know, but what happened was that I received so many greetings in all forms. And people sent me gifts. One gift was an article of clothing. The person who sent it thought that it was time for a similar piece that I had been wearing for a long time, that it was time for it to go into the engineer's rag bag. So, Pam, it has now gone in, the old one has gone into the engineer's rag bag. And I got several parcels, other parcels. I got visits from a son and daughter-in-law and dog, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And what also came in my post was the book for this week. You all know that I especially treasure books that are written by friends and who write in them to me. And that's exactly what's happened here. And this is by our Coast Guard Channel administrator and friend, John, spelled J-O-N, John. And he sent me a copy of a book that he had written as part of his degree work for his master's. The name of the book is Saving Our South Channel Lights, and it talks about the some lights in the South Channel in the Great Lakes. John is a historian, and he has done a great deal of historical work, historical research, and he wrote this book. And in my post yesterday was a copy of it. And if any of you always go out and get the books that I recommend, this one's going to be a challenge. And so you need to do a little bit of digging around. The title of the book is Saving Our South Channel Lights. And one of the things that John did, which I find to be of particular interest to me, is that he has a series of nautical charts that show the evolution of South Channel. And there's a lovely painting on the cover. And so this is my book with many thanks to John. And it has a lovely inscription in it. And also his dedication is dedicated to the loving memory of his father and his mother. And he goes on to describe in his dedication a little bit about the things that he learned from his mom and dad. It's a lovely piece. I am delighted to have it. And in particular, am I delighted to have it because it is from a friend and it has been inscribed in to Captain Joe by John. When I had my son and my daughter-in-law were over for this last weekend, and they brought with them their dog, Aussie. And so I brought out some of the treats that come from Megan in Traverse City, Michigan. You all will remember that I did a broadcast from the Coast Guard Air Station at Traverse City. And one of the things that we did while I was there was to go to a farmer's market. And at that farmer's market was Megan and her kiosk, where she was selling treats that she makes herself. Each one of these treats is shaped in a bone shape. That's one variety. There's another variety that are little kind of discs. But I can just picture Megan at her kitchen counter, lovingly forming up each one of these little bones that goes into the bags. I'm going to give you the website, because if you want treats which are healthy, there are no preservatives in these things. And if you are interested in something that's really good for your dog, go to all one word, best friends, then a dash, then kitchen.com. And when you get that website up, you will see right on the front page, it says, if you have a gassy dog, then these treats and the other food that Megan sells will help you work with that gassy dog. Everybody out there that has a dog no doubt has had a gassy dog, and Megan has the answer for your particular problem. There's also a great photograph of her holding a dog. And so I'm particularly interested in Megan's story because she is a teacher by profession, and she has this dream. And she's one of the people who finally got to the point where she said, I'm tired of talking about, thinking about, discussing this dream. I'm going to go ahead and make it happen. That's exactly what she did. And this is her business. It's called Best Friends Kitchen. And when you go on to the website and you decide to order anything, please add a little bit for the postage, because the last shipment that I got from Megan, she did not ask me for anything for postage. And it turned out that the amount that she had to pay to ship me 4 bags of Best Friends Kitchen treats was half of what the order was. And so I sent her a little bit of cash to cover that. So the whole business of businesses that are put together by people, and I'm not going to say in particular by women, but in this particular case, both this one and Anastasia, she of the Kula cloths, those do happen to be women, but any of Captain Joe's people who have a dream and decide that the time has come to act on that dream, now is the hour, as our Maori friends say. They say it in Maori. I don't do that. The same thing is true of travel. The same thing is true of going to see people maybe on voyages of reconciliation, maybe on trips of exploration. But now, once again, now is the hour. Captain O'Brien was elected as the airport commissioner here on the island. I'm relieved to announce that. I tried to vote for somebody else on the write-in, but the ballot would not accept that. And so I was forced to vote for him. And I am, as always, grateful for everything that he does for me, because he's the one that works the electronic magic that allows this to go on to the archives, so that if you are not able to listen to me on a listen to me live, that you can go on to the archive and pick it up later. And the other thing that came from Captain O'Brien today was the annual output of his grape jelly. I now have 2 jars of Captain O'Brien's grape jelly. All part of the magical Isle of Vashon, which right now has a bear on it. I don't know whether that bear has left, but that bear has been photographed up in the north end of the island. I have briefed Sailor to be watchful for the bear and not try to take it on should it come down to the south end of the island, which is the end on which I live. Sailor has reassured me that he will not do any of those things, but I'm not so sure that I believe him because he sees things like that as a challenge. So I mentioned the book. I want to thank everybody for all of the greetings from the Coast Guard Channel, from all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. It was a wonderful birthday, and the fact that I announced it so that those of you who think that my sell-by date is long past, I reassure you, especially after what a wonderful birthday I had, that I'm here for at least the next year. And next year, 2024, is a seminal year for the captain. This will be my 50th birthday, and we'll have a big celebration out at Point Robinson. The open house at Point Robinson, speaking of which, is on Sunday, the 3rd of December, from noon until 4 o'clock. The Lighthouse Santa will be there. Point Robinson is the only lighthouse in the world that has its own Lighthouse Santa. And the open house is for many island people the beginning of the holiday season, the beginning of the Christmas season, the beginning of the Hanukkah season, the beginning of whatever season it is that you happen to celebrate, which, of course, includes the winter solstice. So pick whatever one you like. You may have it. For me, it is the beginning of the Christmas season, and I man the lighthouse from noon until 4. And I know that there are a lot of people coming from off-island because they are people who have promised me that they would be there. And my friend Anastasia and Aaron of the Kula Cloth, they are ones that have been collecting lighthouses all over Washington State, and they are to come and report to the captain with their logbook and with their check sheet so that we can talk about the things that the lighthouses that they have been able to visit. So the last thing that I get to talk about very quickly is that you may live near an airport which will allow you to go on the upstream side of security and to be with your family even though you're not going to take a flight, which means, of course, that you do not have in your grubby fist a paper boarding pass. I refuse to use the Andy phone for boarding passes. I don't trust it. And so I always ask for and get a paper boarding pass, which I carefully husband. The prudent captain husbands his stores for the long voyage, and I husband my boarding pass very, very carefully so as not to lose it. So the airports where you can do this. This is a very interesting list. Flint, Michigan. Detroit. John Wayne Airport in Orange County. New Orleans, known to Coast Guard people as NOLA. Ontario, California. And, of course, SeaTac. So I have fired in my application because my Spokane family is headed to Hawaii for a Thanksgiving period, and I am going to match up with them inside security and wish them well, many alohas, and see them off. But I am not going with them. I am just going to go inside. So if you live near and you want to try out any one of those airports with a day pass, I think they call it a day pass, you can do that. And next week I will be reporting from either Essex Junction, Vermont, or Burlington, Vermont, because I am headed there for Thanksgiving with my sister Lib and my much-loved brother-in-law Jack. So this is, once again, we have gotten up to 1,300 hours on the magical isle of Vashon, the Vashon Presbyterian Church sign right across from me says, "The world needs your love." The captain also says that. I also always say that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. When my family came to visit on Sunday, my granddaughter Simonzi was there. She and I always part with a big hug, and we each say to the other, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And in that spirit, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. I am on station and watching properly.